Welcome back into the whole show, powered by Chevron. Glad you guys could be with us here today on this Wednesday afternoon. If you're listening to us on the new replay, welcome. We'll be airing the whole show most days, again, starting at 3 o'clock, Monday through Friday, and depending on the sports schedule and things like that, we'll be airing until 6, so we'll get you on the drive home as well. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. The first time the Chiefs beat the Broncos, the start of the streak was quite a while ago. It was November 15th, 2015. Now, the Broncos went on to win the Super Bowl that year, but that was when it started. Alex Smith was the quarterback for the Chiefs. 17 of 31, 240 yards. Chiefs won 29-13. Now, this was the game, Angel. Peyton Manning started. He was 5 of 20. 5 of 20. 35 yards. Guess how many interceptions he had in that game? Not one. Not two. Not three, but four. He looked awful. Kansas City went into the half, up 19. Peyton Manning was kind of, I don't want to say he was booed, but it was a frustrated crowd. And that was when Manning went to the bench, and that was the last time we would see Peyton Manning start a regular season football game.
It just occurred to me that I was a junior in high school when this happened.
It's a long time ago. That was the Super Bowl year. Super Bowl year was also the year that the Kansas City Chiefs started their streak. And that was the last game, the first win of the Chiefs' streak, that was the last regular season game that Peyton Manning started. How about that? Because he didn't come in until the second half of the Broncos-Chargers game at the end of that season, the game that would ultimately seal up the first round bye and everything. Brock Osweiler came in, had a nice fourth quarter, kind of made it interesting, but Chiefs won 29-13. Their running back was Charcandrick West. The Broncos had Ronnie Hillman, C.J. Anderson. They had Demaryius Thomas. Man, 7 receptions, 71 yards for him. I would love to see a receiver do what Demaryius Thomas used to do. That'd be great. It was just a weird game. You know, Cody Latimer was on the team. Vernon Davis was on that team. Former San Francisco 49ers tight end. Benny Fowler. Owen Daniels. Daniels, the tight end. Virgil Green. Oh, Manning had a fumble, too. He didn't lose it, but he fumbled it. Defensively, that was, again, this monster defense. Brandon Marshall, Danny Trevathan, T.J. Ward, Bradley Roby, David Bruton Jr., Chris Harris Jr., Malik Jackson, Von Miller, Derek Wolfe, Sylvester Williams. I mean, they had some guys. And the Broncos, again, went on to win the Super Bowl that year. That loss didn't kill them. That was their second loss of the season. No harm. Kansas City, that was their fourth win. They were 4-5 after the win. And then the Broncos, we all know what they went on to do, even with Brock Osweiler as the quarterback that year. They went on to win a Super Bowl. Little did we know that would be the beginning of the streak. After they lost to Kansas City, they went on and beat Chicago and New England in overtime and San Diego and Oakland. No, they lost to Oakland, lost to Pittsburgh, but then they beat Cincinnati. So I'm on a cruise that year. My wife and I are on a cruise. We watched Brock Osweiler in overtime beat the Bengals.
Is that the A.J. McCarron game?
Yep. That was the A.J. McCarron game, and I'm on a cruise. It's raining. And I didn't care. Staying out there, 7 beers deep, watching the game on a cruise ship.
See, I was a supporter of the Broncos at that time, but I secretly wanted the Bengals to win.
It was a good game. Osweiler had 300 yards passing in that game. And then I got on the plane. Hated this, but I had to watch the game on the plane. And that was the game Peyton Manning came in. And the Broncos needed it to get to secure that 12-4 record, which would secure the number one seed. And home field advantage throughout, which turned out to be very important. And Osweiler was benched in that game. And Peyton Manning came in, used his mind more probably than his throwing ability, calling the right audibles and things like that. And the Broncos got the dub. And we know what happened after that. They went on to win it all. Beating Pittsburgh 23-16. Beating New England 20-18. Von Miller had a pick six in that game. And then beating Carolina, Von Miller was the MVP of that game. Those were the days, and it didn't matter. Little did we know the Chiefs were starting their streak. And they would go on to win a lot of games after that. And it's been a very sad stretch.
They didn't get Mahomes till a year and a half after.
Yeah, was that? That was when Mahomes was drafted?
Mm-hmm.
I was trying to remember when Mahomes started, because Mahomes has never lost to the Broncos, has he? I guess not. I guess not.
He's beaten every single team in the NFL.
Yeah.
Except the Chiefs.
And he loves beating the Broncos. So he came in 2017. So Alex Smith was owning up on the Broncos a little bit in that 2016 year.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because they beat him 30-27 in overtime with Alex Smith, and then they beat him 33-10 on Christmas. And the streak continued. 2017. When did Mahomes? So Alex Smith and company beat the Broncos 29-19. Mahomes got his first win on the Broncos on New Year's Eve, December 31st, 27-24. He had 284 yards.
Was Alex Smith hurt at that point? And that's why Mahomes got to play?
He got hurt, and that's when he got his. Wasn't that when Alex Smith's bad leg injury hit?
That was in Washington.
Oh, was that it? Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, I know Alex Smith got hurt, and then they basically, because they were a playoff team that year, I want to say.
I remember Mahomes being on the bench for a lot of that year.
Yes, he was. He didn't start until, was that his first start? That was his first start.
Yeah.
Was against the Broncos. A lot of history for the Chiefs going up against the Broncos. They did make the playoffs that year. Alex Smith came back and started for them for Tennessee.
They were resting him.
Yep. So, okay. That's right.
It's not Mahomes' fault. It's Alex Smith's fault.
Oh, he started it. Yeah, he started the whole thing. Then they move on from Alex Smith. 2018 was the Mahomes year. Not his rookie year, but his second year. And then Mahomes.
His first MVP year?
I think.
Yeah, because he didn't win it as a rookie.
No. But he was a stud that year. And then they lost in the AFC Championship game to the Patriots. That was that crazy Patriots game. And that was an overtime, 37-31. But he was good. 2019, that was the year they won their first one. They beat San Francisco 31-20. They beat the Broncos 30-6 and 23-3. Mahomes destroyed them. 2020, they lost to the – that was the year they lost the Super Bowl to Tom Brady.
Mm-hmm.
They lost 31-9, but again, Broncos, they beat 43-16 and 22-16, 2020. In 2021, that was the year they lost to the Bengals in the AFC Championship, 27-24, but that was also the year, again, they beat the Broncos 22-9 and 28-24. 2022, a season ago. Their first time playing the Broncos, obviously we know they're Super Bowl champs. They beat Philly last year. They beat the Broncos 34-28 and finished the season with a 27-24 win over Denver. And it has just been a lot of sadness, frustration. When will it end? Brian Gary said this morning he thinks it's going to end tomorrow.
Well, the Chiefs have extended their series lead 71-55. I'd imagine that was a lot closer back in 2015.
That what? Sorry, what was
I'd imagine that record was a lot closer.
Yeah. Man, it was tough. Yeah, you look at...
So, I'll ask you, Broncos fans, do you hate the Chiefs because they're their rival, or you just hate them because they keep beating you?
Both.
Okay. Do you have any respect for them?
Yeah. Not now, though. The Taylor Swift thing is I've lost all respect. The respect that you earned, winning two Super Bowls, and Andy Reid, I love, Patrick Mahomes, obviously, what's not to love? Travis Kelce. But you guys leaned in on the Taylor Swift thing too much. Sorry. Don't like it.
Should be there tomorrow?
Yeah. She probably will be. It'll be annoying. And I want to win that game so freaking bad. I want to win that game so bad. No, I'm tired of it.
It's going to be the Kelce show.
And the Taylor Swift's
he's
up there.
Have, yeah, like, is he playing? Touchdowns.
Yeah. Is he playing tomorrow?
I think so.
He'll
have like four touchdowns and 120 yards or something. He won't have like a big game, but he'll just be in the red zone the entire time.
I have respect for the Chiefs. It's just they're annoying now. I wasn't annoyed with the Travis Kelce stuff in the offseason. I know you and I talked about that. Didn't bug me. Doesn't bug me that Patrick Mahomes sounds like Kermit the Frog. His the Britney thing is she seems like someone I probably wouldn't hang out with.
Obviously not as prominent this year. And I think the Jackson stuff has limited a lot of Mahomes.
Yeah. But I mean, I watched the whole documentary with Mahomes and his wife. Like that Britney clip.
No, he's not mad.
He's just mad because he's hurt. He's not mad at everybody. He's just mad because he's hurt, okay? We all thought so. That's what we assumed. We didn't think somebody called him anything mean or said anything wrong. He's hurt and doesn't want to come out of the Super Bowl or whatever that was. Wasn't it the Super Bowl?
It was a playoff game.
Okay. Yeah.
Of course, the champion or the divisional game.
Of course that's why he's hurt or mad. He got hurt and he's a competitor. He's the best quarterback in the league. He doesn't want to come out. Thanks, Brittany. Thanks for that. Appreciate it. He's not mad, okay, guys? Nobody asked. So, yes, that stuff annoys me. The extracurricular stuff that surrounds the Chiefs. But I want to win so freaking bad. Just so bad. I just don't know how the hell you're going to do it.
Since Tyreek has left, have you hated them less or more? Did Tyreek fuel a lot of that hate for the Chiefs just because of his attitude and the way he played?
Not necessarily. I'm not a big, like, I do hate them, but I know I'm supposed to. I do respect teams, and I respect Tyreek Hill. I didn't like his flip into the end zone, but I didn't hate it either. I don't know how I feel on that one, to be honest. But I don't think Tyreek moved the needle one way or the other for me. Now, Taylor Swift has definitely done that. Brittany Mahomes and Jackson, those guys moved the needle. Love Andy Reid. And I love the commercials. I love the Kelce Mahomes commercials. I like all that stuff, dude. Just tired of them. Tired of them winning. Tired of them beating the Broncos. You know, I'm ready to be done with that. But I just don't know. Like Pacheco. Who can tackle Pacheco? Can you tackle him? Do you think anybody can tackle that guy? For the Broncos? Vance Joseph said it's about getting guys. It's not necessarily about getting guys in the right place. It's about tackling, making plays. Eh, it's both. Because I see wide open guys.
Practice,
oh, they probably did. Short week, but good week. Short, but good.
Yeah, these Thursday night games are interesting because, yeah, you lose and you hear from all these football players, yeah, I want to just get that taste out of my mouth. I want to just go play the next game.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's a short week. Maybe you're not going full deep into an install and what your scheme is. It's, hey, we're going to go bare bones on this offense and do what we know we can do.
Here's a text. All these years just keep sounding exactly the same. Chiefs dominating and the donkey sucked. Ooh, see, I hate that.
You don't like the donkey?
No, I hate when people call them that.
I only call them that when they're bad.
I hate when people call them that. I see nothing but a repeat tomorrow. Chiefs, baby. Maybe Tay-Tay. See that? Tay-Tay? Is that her name? Is that her nickname? Tay-Tay?
T-Swizzle.
T-Swift. Can write a song about the Broncos since the Chiefs keep breaking their hearts. Then people will care about the Broncos again.
Something about a white
horse. Thanks. I'm good. You know what?
There will be a reference to every NFL team in her new album when it comes out. And there will be a song called...
Here's a poll question for you.
The White Horse with Blue Shoes.
here's a poll question for you. If you could win a Super Bowl, but also know that Taylor Swift's going to start dating one of your guys, and now she's going to be a part of it, that's part of it? Or you just say, no thanks. I just want to watch my team. I don't care if I'm in misery. Just please don't involve Taylor Swift.
I think it depends because I think the market she's chosen is very specific. Midwestern, kind of just your average American person, mostly probably women that her audience is. So she's reaching that demographic. I don't know. If she was in Dallas, I don't know if she'd have the same kind of oomph. I don't know if she was dating a player in Seattle. I don't think it would be the same.
See, I think it would because Jessica Simpson dated Romo, and that was in Dallas.
Well, it's movie star. Everyone loves a movie star. Not everyone
Jessica
loves
Simpson. Taylor Swift wasn't really a movie star, though. She was a music
celebrity.
She was a terrible actress.
Sure.
But we all watched it.
I think, like, if Taylor was dating a player on the Dolphins, I don't know if it would mesh, because I don't know if her personality fits with Miami as a city and their culture. I think it fits perfectly in Kansas City.
Maybe.
I think she chose it specifically, because it's right smack in the middle of America. Everyone loves the Chiefs. They're America's team. Patrick Mahomes is the greatest. Travis Kelce's a fun, goofy guy. He's like your fun uncle.
Dixon says, sounds like a lot of hidden peanut butter and jelly. What does that mean?
Peanut butter and jealous.
Oh. I'm sorry, Dixon. I didn't know you talked Taylor Swift now.
That sounds like something she would say. Something seeming.
I am not jealous.
Peanut butter and seemingly
Trust
jelly.
Me, I am the furthest away from jealous of Taylor Swift. Get it away. I wish we weren't playing the Chiefs tomorrow. Not because I'm worried about losing, because I don't want to hear about pop singer singing about breakups. I don't want to hear that garbage. Get it away from me. Chiefs, you are annoying now, and you weren't 2 months ago. You are now the most annoying team in the NFL. Congratulations. 22 minutes after the hour. I got Mark Johnson, the voice of the Colorado Buffaloes, coming up next. It's the whole show powered by Chevron, on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 at 1310 KFKA.
The Best Nuggets podcast is back at 1310KFKA.com. A pickaxe to grind with Brady Hull on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Cephalu Fowl, former Colorado Buffaloes quarterback, and you're listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA.
Joining me now on our First Advantage Hotline, Mark Johnson, the voice of the Colorado Buffaloes. Mark, man, a great, great call by you. That was such an exciting finish, and I don't know that anybody articulates it quite like you do, but that deep throw by Shador to get ultimately in field goal range and then the game-winning field goal, that was exciting, man. That was drama, so thank you, my friend.
You're very welcome. That was almost as exciting as what I just finished doing here. I got to let you know what just happened. So we just did Coach Prime's show, Buff Prime Time, at the Post Chicken and Beer. And guess who our special guest was out here, Brady Hull?
I have no idea, Mark. I am blanking out. I feel bad.
I will tell you. The Aflac Duck was on the show with us today.
Oh, yeah. So. The actual Aflac Duck. Like, yep. The duck was out there.
Mr. Aflac was out here today. And so, yeah, you can check out my Twitter account. You'll go ahead, or my X account, I guess this is called. And you can see the photos of me and the duck out there. And so,
yeah, wow.
I was sitting out there. So not only was I overshadowed by Deion Sanders, but I was overshadowed by a duck as well. So that's why my career is going.
Angel just pulled it up. Oh, that's great. Now, okay, I have a lot of questions now, Mark, that I wasn't prepared to ask, but now I'm asking.
Sure.
Are you going to be in the next commercial then?
No.
Oh,
I
come on.
Highly doubt. Well, listen, when you've got Coach Prime, Nick Saban, and the Aflac Duck, the last thing you need is me wandering around in my cowboy hat. You know, they just don't
no,
care.
I think you know? It would make it awesome. Yeah. You have you in the background broadcasting a little bit, like
sure,
the ducks but... at the 10, the 5, and then, you know. another question I have, how is the duck treated? Like a celebrity-type mascot?
Oh.
I mean, I need to know the answers.
Brady, well, first off, I walk in, and the folks from Aflac asked me to come back. We've got a green room. And they asked me to come back and meet Mr. Aflac. By the way, that's what he's referred to as, Mr. Aflac. And Mr. Aflac has a travel companion because being flock animals, right?
Yeah.
They can't just be, you know, running him around the country by himself. So he's got a partner duck that travels with him. And she was a little bit smaller than he was. And she was in a separate little, you know, if you got like a dog crate. So she was sitting there, and Mr. Aflac was sitting on top of his crate having some water and some kind of feed. And so he and I sat and communed a little bit. And then when Coach Prime got there, we opened up the show. They brought the duck out. The duck quacked quite a bit, and, you know, shed some feathers. And then afterward, no one's allowed to touch the duck, by the way. They had the duck sitting on a chair, and then folks got to come up and take a picture in a separate chair, side by side. Now they got a chance to sit with the duck and do their thing. So, yeah, it's quite impressive. You know, we always talk about, when somebody asked me about Ralphie, I said, you know, she is treated like a queen. And Mr. Affleck is treated like a king. Make no mistake about it. Very well cared for.
Are we expecting any kind of shot with Ralphie and Mr. Affleck together?
That is a great question, and I don't know the answer to it. Mr. Affleck is going to be on the math field on campus, and on Friday night, before the ball games, you can go on by and say hi, and they've got all kinds of Affleck stuff they're going to do. And so he will be out there, but that's a great question. I don't know the answer to that, but I would assume, since you've got these two iconic mascots in the same venue, that they're going to try and get them together, I would think. I'm not sure what kind of interest they're going to have in each other. But probably none, but at least they could get a photo of the two of them together.
Well, and, you know, I keep forgetting to ask you the mascot question. Who's winning in that fight, Ralphie or Mr. Affleck? I mean, Affleck's got a lot of bodyguards and stuff, you know?
Yeah, but I think we know who's going to listen. As the you know, God rest his soul, the great Mike Leach once said, when you're talking about a buffalo, not many things are going to be a buffalo. So
that's true.
You got to go with Ralphie in that circumstance.
Oh, one of the best rants, too, just going through the Pac-12 mascots. Yep. I mean, that was historic, legendary stuff.
By the way, I did not at all at any time in front of Mr. Affleck or on the show bring up my history with other ducks and what I do with other ducks come this time of year.
Well, that never came up. That's what I was wondering, Mark, if the rule is you can't really touch, like you can't pet Mr. Affleck, or if that was just your rule, because they're like, we know what you do to ducks, Mark. We know what you're up to.
Yeah, and so we kept that to ourselves. And I did scold the audience because they were sitting and eating chicken. I think that was offensive to Mr. Affleck as well.
Yeah, I think that's wrong at that point, right there. Hey, Mark, can we ask, like, and I don't really have that big a deal, you know, with Ralphie running out and the players and the team, the way they typically run out after Ralphie, it's changed a little bit. They're not really running out. Mark, can you talk to us a little bit about that and the decision behind it, or?
Well, I don't know that I have any real great insights as to the order of them coming out and how they're not nearly as tight behind the Buffalo as they used to be. I don't know if it's been a small handful of home games they've had. There's been some timing issues there. As far as Ralphie's running at this point, they've had no official comment on that. But I think, you know, she's still in the process of learning, and maybe so she hasn't run as deep onto the field as she has in the past. But I think that's you know how offenses have to get their timing down.
Yeah,
I think that's what they're working. They're working on timing with Ralphie, I think, right now.
That's a good answer, Mark. All right, so Shedeur Sanders, again, it wasn't like his best game, obviously, but at the end he makes the drive that ultimately sets up the Buffs to win this game. And it was a crazy moment. And so, you know, Shedeur goes down at the end and he celebrates, does the watch thing to the ASU fan. And I said, I don't really have a problem with it because this was a huge win. A lot of people on X saying, how is this a huge win? You were supposed to win. And then I go back, Mark, as I tend to do. They were picked to win three games. They won one game last year. This is four. That would be a huge win if you were picked to win three. And then if you carry the four and then do all that stuff. So it was a huge win for this Buffalo's team. People forget about the unrealistic expectations that have swirled around this team the last, you know, month or so.
Well, when you're a bad 1-11, every win's a huge win, right?
Yeah.
And I did see that ESPN, their analytics people, put out something this week where they said that the odds of Colorado being 4-2 after six games based on that schedule is 0.2%. And
wow.
So, you know, I brought that up to Prime today. The Buffs are bucking the trend. So, you know, in terms of celebrations, I'm always kind of a Walter Payton kind of guy. Walter Payton had that line years ago where he said, you know, when you get to the end zone, act like you've been there before and you plan on coming back. That's me. And I know I'm more conservative in that regard than most anybody else is. And fans love the celebrations and the dances. And, you know, Coach Prime perfected that back in the day with what he used to do in the end zone. So, you know, for me, that's neither here nor there. Some people like it, some people don't. But you're right. Every win right now for a team that was 1-11 is a big win. And consider this. Six games in, half the way through this schedule, the Buffs are two games away from being bowl eligible, which I don't think anybody was expecting. Certainly not Las Vegas. We know that. They had the over and under at 3.5. So, yeah, every game is a big win right now. The schedule lightens up a little bit. They got a great opportunity as a favorite on Friday night against Stanford. You know, then they get the bye week to work on a few things. And you got UCLA and you jump into with Oregon State and Washington State and Arizona and Utah down the stretch. They got a great opportunity. And, And it just continues to be a great story.
Yeah, it really does. And again, I think anytime the Buffs are going up against anybody, regardless of what their season looks like, the Buffs have a target on their back because of the hype, yeah. Everything that goes around them. And talk to us about what happened at the end of that game, Mark, because I'm listening to the broadcast, so I didn't see it live.
You heard that, huh?
I did hear that.
Yeah, yeah.
And I went back and watched the replay and everything, but I'm listening through it through you guys. Cameron Scadabo just runs up, lays a guy out well after the play. I mean, what did you see?
Well, I didn't. I was sitting there, you know, because the clock goes zero, and I'm ramping up into kind of wrapping up the broadcast and putting a bow on it. And all of a sudden, Coach Barnett lets out that exclamation, let's call it that. And I look at him like, what in the world did you just do? Or was that, and I look at the engineer, was that on the air? Was it just in my headset? Sometimes we don't know. And what happened was you saw Scadabo come off the sidelines and lay out Jordan Dominick. And, I'm stunned after I saw the clip then, because we go to commercial break, and I look at Gary, and I said, what was that all about? He said, you didn't see what I saw. Well, it took me a while to see the video, and it appeared to be a heck of a, you know, unsportsmanlike kind of moment, but I'm surprised that from a league standpoint, you know, Prime said this week he talked with the head coach, Kenny Dillingham, and everything's fine, but you certainly don't like that kind of stuff, but you do wonder with all the attention Colorado is getting if they might not be seeing a little bit more of that at different times. That would be unfortunate.
Well, yeah, and you hate to see it, but I'll admit, Mark, as I'm listening to it, you guys, I go off of your cadence. So when I hear you kind of in the wrap-up mode, I'm like, all right, let's shut her on down, and I got to finish this CSU Wyoming. I'm watching both of those games, so I got to finish these games, and then I hear Coach say that. So my first
exclamation.
When I heard that, I perk up. And so my first thought was, did they just like return? Did they do some kind of lateral? Are they running the kick or running something back here? Did somebody stumble, trick play here? Are we running for a touchdown? So I freaked out a little bit. And then when you hear the late hit stuff, you're like, not good, but at least the Buffs are still going to walk away and get the dub.
And I looked at Gary and I said to him later on, I said, you know, there was years ago when I was at Syracuse, we had the legendary coach Dick McPherson working with me. Mac would have a little, shall we say, exclamation as well on occasion. If there was a turnover, he'd let out kind of a natural response that fans generally do but should not be on the radio. And I said to Gary, I relayed that story to him, and I said, you know, when you're a legendary coach and you've been around a long time, people will kind of overlook that kind of thing. And so everyone has. All the stations that carry that, I don't think we've heard from the FCC in any way, shape, or form. And so I think we're just fine, but I told Gary, I said, you know, you do that again, I'm going to, you know, in broadcasting, we have a cough button, okay?
Yeah.
And I said, if you do that again, I'm going to have Shannon change that switch around. So it's not going to be a push to mute button. It's going to be a push to talk button if you can't control your exclamations like that. So we'll see what happens.
And I'm listening to it online. So I was like, well, maybe it doesn't bleep out or doesn't drop the online stuff. So who knows? But I think everything. And you know what? If there's a crew to let slide, I think it's going to be this crew, Mark. I'm just going to say it.
Yeah, that's right.
How about, the Stanford game coming up on Friday, looking forward to it. Another opportunity here for the Buffs, win number 5 coming around the corner. Travis?
Yeah, and you know, I Wednesdays are the day that I start really getting into the numbers. You look at Stanford, and boy, they're defensively challenged. Well, that's a nice way of saying it. Their numbers are not pretty on the defense. You know, teams are converting 56% of their third downs against Stanford. That is an enormous number. They're giving up about 37, 38 points per ball game. So, great opportunity. We just had Nick Williams on the show earlier tonight in the Colorado Football Network, and he was talking about, you know, we got to get better in defense. So they do, but I think they've got a chance. Stanford runs the ball relatively well. Don't throw it all that much, but you know, they're capable. Their tight end's pretty good, and so yeah, it's a winnable ball game and a chance for Colorado to be sitting at 5-2 at the break, at the bye week. And I think if you would have told that to anybody in Buff Nation, you know, 3-4 months ago and said, yeah, we'll be 5-2 sitting at the bye week, people would have gone out of their mind. And so they've got a great opportunity here.
So, Mark, on that note, I'm hearing a lot, seeing a lot, too, talking about Travis Hunter, his potential playing this weekend. Do you risk it this week? Or if you're the Buffs, are you just like, you know what, at this stage, if we can get an opportunity to get back, we every win, every opportunity to win, we got to take full advantage of?
I think that's the case. And since that, and we, you know, we just asked Prime about that on the show. And since, you know, the doctors have cleared him, so the medical people have said he's fine to go. And so I think if that's the case, if everyone's, you know, this isn't like, you know, you're going and trying to come back from a knee, and so you're worried about, okay, is it strong enough at this point in time? So it's not that kind of injury. It's something that has to heal. Lacerated liver. I know it sounds horrible, but apparently once that's healed, it's healed. And so it's not like something you have to worry about him hurting again, apparently. And so since they've signed off and said he is healthy enough to go, they've done all the tests and all the scans and poked and prodded and everything else they do to figure it out. Since that's the case, you know, I said to Prime today, I said, do you have him on a pitch count? And he said, absolutely not. That's not what Travis is all about. So apparently he's going to go. And so if that's the case, listen, at this point, they're sitting at 4-2. If you've got the opportunity to get somebody of that skill level back, you put him back in the field, because you don't want to mess around here and say, well, we'll win another week, and then, you know, he's not out there and something happens and the other team pulls out a win on the road, and, you know, you don't want that to happen. So all hands on deck, I guess, is what I'm saying.
Yeah, well, I'm looking forward to, if we do get to see him back, I'm ready to see him back. He's such a special player. Seeing a two-way player play at that level is must-see, must-listen to, all that stuff. Mark, what time do you get to rock and rolling on the broadcast this Friday?
6 p.m. Mountain Time with the pregame show, so we'll get things underway in the Colorado Football Network, and then just after 8 o'clock is when we kick it off. And that means we're going to wrap up our postgame at about 2 a.m., so another late night for the Buffalo.
Well, I'll be, like I like to do it, whether I can watch it or not, whether it's on the Pac-12 network or not, I like to mute it, and I listen to you guys,
because
you literally never know what you might hear. Mark.
We have proven that again, haven't we? Yeah. You never know what might be said, especially after midnight. I mean, hey.
Oh,
you know,
man.
Then the FCC lightens up the rules.
Coach could just have some interesting things to say at the end of this one, huh?
Yeah. That's right.
All right. Mark, appreciate you, my man.
All right, bud. We'll talk to you.
Mark Johnson, the voice of the Buffs. Hey, I'm glad Mark talked about that, because I heard it. Yeah, I heard it. It was hilarious. 40 minutes after the hour, let's jump out and get the latest on the local Sports Flash.
This is Nico Carvacho, former CSU Ram, current pro basketball player, and you're listening to The Hall Show with my good friend, Brady Hall.
Well, that's interesting news about Travis Hunter, too, from Mark, saying, hey, you know, might as well play him, because I guess once they say it was a lacerated liver, right? Was that what it was? For Travis, once that heals, it's done. You'd have to have the exact same injury, lacerate the liver again. It's not like you tear your ACL and that leg now is a little bit weaker forever. It's not like that. So,
yeah, the liver is a miraculous organ.
So you just go for it then. Have them play Friday. If they're saying it's healed, then there's really no risk of re-injury to that unless the exact same kind of injury happens. So sounds like perhaps Travis Hunter going to be a go, and the Buffs looking for win number 5 coming up. And they're going to be, at that point, you know, definitely should get into a bowl game. They should take care of Stanford. You know, you look at this game and the odds, all that stuff. They should run away with this game, shouldn't they? They are 11.5 point favorites at home.
Should have ran away with Arizona State.
Yeah, but Tempe. USC didn't. USC didn't run away. No one's saying anything about that.
Plenty of people are doubting USC.
Yeah, but if USC's still a top-ranked team and CU's not, then why should CU be expected to do what USC didn't do?
I'm just saying there's room for doubt with this Buffs team.
Like, what doubt, though? That they're not going to get into a bowl game?
Just off the spread. That if it's a 20-point spread, okay, the experts, the Vegas people, whoever, think you should win by that. You didn't. You won. Great. But I can still doubt that you can cover a spread. At least just cover a spread. That's all I'm saying. I'm not the world's biggest Buff hater looking for every opportunity
you are
to
the
knock
world's.
Them down. I'm not.
You are.
I am,
you're
that
up
was
there.
A month ago.
You're top 10.
I have my
top
own
10.
Team to worry about right now.
You're top 10. Top 10 world's biggest Buffs hater. I would say you're in that mix.
All right, well.
Yeah.
If Dion knows my name, great.
He doesn't know, but
great.
He might. I don't know.
My life has not changed because of
you and Tanner are in that mix. But my thing is, like, why hate him so much? Why?
Again, I don't hate him.
Why do you hate? Why when it comes to the Buffs, like, you didn't have the same energy on USC? You coming close to Arizona State.
USC has different expectations. USC is expected to be a national champion.
I think they should be ripped harder. They should be you should come down on USC more than CU.
We're going to talk about USC.
But you didn't. But we have talked about
USC. I'll tell you. I don't. They obviously aren't a top 10.
But we have talked about USC. I talked about them last week when we previewed this, or 2 weeks ago when we previewed USC CU game. When I said, "Hey, they struggled in Tempe against Arizona State. I would watch out." And I picked the Buffs to actually win that game because of that game. So I just feel like it's all they didn't. They didn't cover against Arizona State. They didn't beat Arizona State badly.
That's all I'm saying.
Dude,
literally all I'm saying is the base fact that you didn't cover the point spread that doesn't even matter to the game. That's all I'm saying.
This team was picked to win 3 games this year.
Yes. They've succeeded.
Was at 1 win last year. And so that's why, like, every game, I don't care if they cover a spread or not, every game is colossal for Colorado.
Yes, but I think the expectations changed after they started 3-0.
Mine didn't.
Everyone was surprised by that.
Mine didn't. I still thought good, not great. You know,
I still think they're a good, not great team. But good, not great teams can struggle, and that's okay to doubt good, not great teams. They should beat Stanford.
They should, but if they don't beat them by 10+, I don't think
then
it's going to be
not
a crime.
Hold that against them the rest of the season. It's
no.
A point spread. I'm talking about one game.
But I don't know what we're arguing about.
You didn't cover the spread. That's it.
Well, who cares? Like,
no one.
In terms of picks and stuff, yeah, sure. But right now, if you're the Buffs, you're just trying to win games. You know, I know everybody, you know, and you got Denver media freaking out. Like, the Buffs will never do any wrong ever. They're still going to do wrong. They're good, not great. And good, not great teams don't cover spreads. 48 minutes after the hour. What do we learn? Coming up next.
You like podcasts? We podcast every show immediately after it airs at 1310kfka.com or wherever you download your favorite stuff. Northern Colorado's voice. 103.1 and 1310kfka.
This is Adam Matas with DNVR, the DNVR Bar, and the DNVR Nuggets podcast, and you're listening to The Whole Show with Brady Hull.
The next time you get angry over a bad play, remember you need teamwork to win, not arguments.
Now we know.
And knowing is half the battle.
Hey, hey, what do you say? We all had a special day. Now turn to a friend and say what you learned today.
I learned on this 11th day of October that when you're evaluating Russell Wilson, it's not cut and dry. You can't just go, well, the numbers would suggest he's back, but the eye test would say he's terrible. The truth on this one is honestly in between. His numbers are better. He's better. He is still not elite. He is. It's still clunky. It still looks difficult. Everything Russ does still looks like a challenge, and I don't know if that's just the offense, the lack of weapons, whatever. But I think you got to be fair here. The truth is probably somewhere in between on Russ. Numbers are better. I don't know that Russ is back to Seattle Russ. Angel, what'd you learn today?
I learned that I have a new favorite nugget. Jules.
Yeah? Yeah?
That'll be my chant every time he gets a point.
That's your favorite nugget?
No, he's one of my new favorites.
Okay. Over, because MPJ is your guy.
Yeah.
That's your boy. Yeah, I think he's going to be good, dude. I don't know how what that's going to look like right after the start of the bat in the season, but hey, if he can run in that offense the way he did last night, there you go.
But I've learned, like, you know, the strategy that Booth and Malone want for this team is, yeah, they want experienced college guys, but, you know, these guys have played 2, 3, 4, 5 years in college at this point, so their mental, you know, their attitude right now is so mature. And we heard from Julian earlier, like, he just has the right answers right now.
Yeah.
And that's just good to know that he's walking into this organization confident that the team around him is going to support him into this transition.
Yeah, I'm excited for the Nuggets, man. It's a different feel, even though they're the champs, a different feel. Dixon says, sounding a little grumpy today. Tay-Tay got you on tilt a little? Yeah, she does. I don't want to see it. Do something about it, Chiefs fans. Get her out of there. Do what's right. Break them up. Break them up.
You can't break them up because that gives her more power.
But I don't know.
It's like cutting off the head of a hydra. Two more grow back.
Chiefs fans, you gotta, like, are you guys annoyed by this? Be honest.
I think it may be a reprieve from the Jackson Mahomes stuff.
Yeah, it's true.
It's Like, oh, at least this stuff is not Taylor's like not so bad.
Illegal bad jerky things, right?
Well, Taylor's up in the box. She's not on the field doing TikTok dances.
Oh, yeah, that's worse. The TikTok dances are worse. But Tay-Tay, golly, so annoying.
We're already calling her by nicknames now.
Yeah, you guys, you know you're embracing it. Dixon's like, speaking of that, did you guys see Tay-Tay's latest album? Oh, it was amazing.
You know her favorite color's red.
Is it really?
Mm-hmm.
Makes sense.
Had an album called Red.
She had an album called Red?
Mm-hmm.
That's creative. Man, she might be the greatest artist of our time.
Her money would say.
Make it stop. Go beat them Broncos. I got Thursday night special coming up, well, on Thursday. Yeah, got that one coming up. What is today? Wednesday? We've got the nerd slap or whatever. We got, I love it. Micah, Nick, Scott, going to bring you the nerd show tonight. So we're looking forward to it. Hockey tonight. Let's go, Avs. Good night, Northern Colorado.